on Bison.
Right. And this is Katara, my flying sister.
That's right, I'm Sokka. It's pronounced with an Akka.
My name is Tak Fei Fong, and I'll need 4 tickets.
My name is Zuko, Prince of the Fire Nation, and heir to the throne.
Don't flatter yourself.
You lost me at Zuko.
Zuko? You look so cute!
I can tell you're lying.
Why would I let go of Katara? I love her.
Anybody got a problem with that?
You'll have to leave now. Your lemur is harassing our sparrow keys.
Those are enemy birds.
Even that oaf knows to concentrate on what he's doing.
He does have a heart, doesn't he?
Come on, come on, come on!
Shuffle on, I get you.
Stay flaming. Now, check this out.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DonGuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Ben.
Hello.
Jeff.
Hello.
Sam.
Hi.
Michelle.
Hello.
Josh.
Hey.
And Elisa.
Booyah.
And today we'll be discussing 316. So send questions to us at podcast@donguFang.net, blah, 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 blah. Right now in the background you hear My Heart's the Worst Kind of Weapon by Fall Out Boy. I think that's kind of appropriate for Katara here, seeing as she almost killed, like, 2 people in order for revenge. And I guess we'll get more to that. This podcast is probably going to sound like really different from the others, because Josh is recording right now. So hopefully you can hear this. Okay, no segment transfers, let's get right into the episode. Any comments to start us off before we start going through specific events in the episode?
Well, I'm gonna try to not let the hype of a new episode get in the way of the discussion, because when I went back and watched it the second time, there were things, not necessarily bad about the episode, but things that I think is going to hold it back from being in my top 10. So
yeah, I'd agree with that, actually. Well, I've actually only seen this once, so I'm going to need some help from co-hosts here.
I'm kind of in the same boat, but I was kind of set up like that. That from the minute that we saw the trailer for Ember Island Airs, I've been more excited about that than I have about this episode. Not to say that this episode wasn't good, but I don't think it's quite going to be amongst the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to be our discussion for the end. Is it a series classic? And I don't think we can judge that until the hype's passed, because I literally saw it hours ago. I think we all did, so. Yeah, it wasn't even leaked, so this was one of the first, like, ever.
I literally did see it, like, 2 hours ago, because I'm West Coast, so.
My last viewing was 2.5 hours ago. My second viewing was 2.5 hours ago.
Saw the first part an hour ago.
I it about 3 times in order to do the whole outline. So.
Yeah, that's it. Big thanks to Ben for making the outline here. I mean, I was trying to sleep unsuccessfully, so Ben got this up. And it's better than I ever could make any of these outlines. It's very detailed. Okay, so let's start off. Very strange beginning to this episode. I think it's the second episode ever with the fight sequence in the beginning of the episode.
The Earth King being the first one.
Yes, the Earth King being the first.
I'm just going to start off right now and say, I think at this point, after watching it twice, my favorite very beginning moment and my favorite very ending moment both come from this episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because my opinion on this is...
Well, I know how you feel about the last quote.
Fight sequence pretty early on. I'd say it's kind of unsuccessful. I don't know. I think it went way too fast. It was a little too much in the beginning. And I don't know, it was hard for me to digest everything that was going on all at once, and I generally didn't like the beginning of this episode. I don't know, what's anyone else?
Well, I'm not talking about the whole, I'm just saying the moment that Aang wakes up, birds fly away, and here comes a bomb, and then...
Okay, well, what do you think of the general overall beginning?
Oh, I liked it still, but...
Okay, anyone...
I really like that.
It was
moment.
Kind of interesting that the way they presented it, because they rebroadcast Boiling Rock directly before this. So, you know, if you watch that, you saw Azula, you saw how angry she was, and then it was just like almost seamless going into this.
And now she's crazy.
Mad and like practically psycho. And I thought that was a good transition, but I do agree that it almost should have been split into 2 episodes. you know, maybe the aerial battle and that bit with Azula, and then another one just for Katara. It seemed kind of almost like, I don't know, an episode of Family Guy or something, where they start off on one thing, and then about 10 minutes in, they switch to a completely different story.
Yeah. And I think this is going
to
be...
watching it,
By
the time Katara got to the boat, I looked at the time on the DVR, I was like, there's not enough time to do what she needs to do and as well as she could. But I wish there had been more time for that.
Well, man, I guess my question to you all, generally in the beginning, what, like, did you think it was too much to start with the fight? I guess that's what I'm trying to ask.
If you're gonna have a fight, I think it should have been in the beginning. I mean, we were talking about this. It's really no good way to go from Katara's quest to the fight. Never do it the other way around.
I agree with Elisa. It should have been a separate episode, because I missed that entire part. So after I came online, after seeing the second parts, and everyone was telling me what happened in the first part, and I was like, are you serious? Because it sounded like it should be in a completely different episode.
Like, maybe what they could have done, I think, like, to go back, Boiling Rock, I missed the podcast on that, but I think Boiling Rock was maybe a little long, so what they could have done is shifted this battle with Azula to the end of Boiling Rock, maybe, and then have this whole episode devoted to Katara.
I mean, what did the Azula fight really even accomplish?
Girlfriend.
Zuko got a here.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
Well, it's a plot device. I'll admit, I can admit that this is a plot device, because if they hadn't left the Western Air Temple, I don't think that there would have been much motivation, obviously, for that fireside chat with Zuko and Katara and all that drama. And then they wouldn't even be having this fireside chat, because they were all six together.
Well, yeah.
So device, I mean, the fight, yeah.
To accomplish it.
The fight, basically, yeah. It's just a big, it's a glorified plot device, I'll admit. Yeah. That doesn't change my opinion on it.
Separating the gang from the non-gang, and then getting them to leave the Western Air Temple.
And I think that regardless of
again, there's other ways to do it. And I'd say the beginning is probably my least favorite part. After watching it once, I don't know, maybe it'll grow on me. Because, this is the first episode, new episode I've seen in a couple months. It just was, all at once.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's kind of how I felt, too, a little bit. But I kind of liked that feeling. And,
Azula's madness.
Oh, that's true.
Well, I was just going to say one more thing on this topic of having all at once. It's, you've talked about this before several times, Dylan, how we don't know how they're going to cram everything in. So, class, well, they are kind of trying to cram, and this is one of the effects that I think could have been expected after...
Yeah, from beginning season one.
Yeah, this is one of the effects that we could have expected, so...
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you were kind of right there, if that's your feeling on it. I, personally, I still like it, but...
I just don't like the action at the beginning.
But as far as your opinion goes, yeah, that fits, and it makes sense that... you think it's crammed, so.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll see after watch it a couple more times then.
And after this discussion too, because
more time
there
passes.
May have been things that you didn't catch necessarily. I don't know, but yeah.
Okay, well, next on here is Top Power with Ben Tunnel from Escape Zuko's stays behind the bite in time, and he believes it's Wilsley intact. The group splits up with Haru, Hakoda, and the rest of the non-gang leaving through the tunnel while the gang prepares to. Bless you and fly out on Appa. Hakoda calls Katara that it won't be separated for long. And that's interesting, because I'm pretty sure they stay separated through season 317.
Yeah.
So they don't meet again until the finale.
One thing I really liked about this scene is it's always annoyed me when, they have a big emotional split, one person's gotta go one way. Sometimes they waste so much time with their hugs and their goodbyes and this, they just end
it. Jeff likes no emotion.
Well, but if you're in the middle of, a battle or something, it has to be go! No!
Exactly, but sometimes they don't do that, and it's annoying me whenever I see it.
I don't know, as I've stated before, I think the story over the action scenes a lot, so I know it seems a little rushed, but not that huge of a deal.
Hey, but Haru kind of did something.
Yeah, he kind of maybe helped Toph.
Well, no, I think that was. I think that was. I think.
Make you feel bad.
Yeah, seriously.
I think they were kind of forcing a purpose for Haru there. Because I'm pretty sure Toph could have made a tunnel by herself.
Yeah, well, Teo didn't, like, do anything either. And the Duke, I barely saw him.
And
Chitsang. Chitsang was there, too.
Chitsang was there. All Chitsang did was drool.
Yeah, as I was
like, Sokka does. So. I mean, you know, and again, I didn't get to say this for Boiling Rock, but to quote Obi-Wan, why do I get the feeling of another useless life form?
Yeah.
That's what Chip's saying, and it's a shame, because he's cool, but that's what it seems like they're doing with him.
We'll see. I think he'll have a huge role, and it'll alter the plot line of the story.
That'd be cool. Riot!
Yeah. Okay, so, Zuko's will have a short fight and ends in a draw, both off the ship Zuko's pulled on top of. Well, the fight seems a little forced to me.
Well, I couldn't believe that he fell twice.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, with the first fall, and then, like, it cuts back to the gang, and then they finally get out, and I'm like, okay, Zuko's been falling a lot.
I know. How deep is that canyon that they were in at the Western Air Temple? How deep is that? I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, because we knew Katara was going to catch him at some point in the episode from the trailers, and I was thinking it was going to be after that first fall.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
And that's how we were saying in our discussion last night, you know, not last night, the night before, of how we can't make too much speculation because of the way they cut and paste stuff. I mean, we didn't know that Zuko was going to fall twice.
The thing is, we knew from NYCC that when Zuko's falling and gets caught by Katara, Azula's also falling, so... Pretty much.
Oh, well, I didn't have time to think about that, think that through, so...
Well, but we were arguing whether or not that actually was a because it was such in the distance, and we thought...
Okay, this doesn't seem like very important.
Alright, I got a question, though. That airship that Zuko landed on, was that the one that they stole and they were hiding in the clouds, or what?
No, because that's where Haru and Hakoda went. They told them to go get the other airship that they had.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, it was just a random one.
Were they down, or was it because there wasn't really a back?
Yeah, there's no back.
I think there was a back, and we just don't know it.
And that would have meant that Azula would have brought, like, she had three ships above her, plus...
Okay, we're overthinking this. Let's move on. Please.
Okay.
Most important thing.
Who knows?
I don't think, who directed this episode? I don't know. Anyone?
Joaquin Dos Santos.
It's Santos episode? Okay.
We can ask him at the con.
Okay, next is at the shore. The gang thanks Zuko for what he did, except Katara walks away and Zuko follows her. She tells him she doesn't trust him and mentions her mother. Zuko goes. Let's get to the first one first. Those are two separate ones. So yeah, they have the weird transfer between to the mom thing, and then from there. You know, I threw up inside my mouth throughout all these scenes. Too much Zutara here.
Well, I did. What I liked about the first campfire was, you know, Aang saying, "Oh, it's like old times," and Zuko saying, "If you want it to feel more like old times, I could chase you and try and capture you."
Yeah, it said that wasn't that funny, and then they all started cracking up.
I think it was funny.
I thought it was hilarious.
I forgot in my memorable quotes.
Yeah, I know. I was like, ugh. That really, that was pretty good. Notice all of their jokes are corny ones now, by the way. Get used to that.
First off, Zuko doesn't have a sense of humor at all in the first place, so he did pretty well for him.
Yeah, compared to Katara's jokes, I mean...
Katara's jokes are still the best. It's so hot. Momo's shedding like Appa. Next. Okay, here we go. Zuko goes into Sokka's tent while Sokka is waiting for Sugi and asks him about his mother and what happened. Let's stop there.
Okay. Dylan, you said you were going Dylan, you said you were going to hold our hands through this, so...
Yeah, I will. Okay, let me walk you guys through this. Sokka, I can't believe Nick let them do this. It's amazing. Sokka was waiting. It was, describe the scenery for me. Someone.
Okay, it's
basically candlelit flowers. He has his pants off. He's just wearing a short.
And his hair is down.
And did anyone notice the tents are right next to each other? Oh my god. I think you might want to move it away first. don't hear
it. It was the rose in his mouth that he had. And...
Okay, basically, if you watch the scene, you kind of infer that Sokka was waiting for Suki to have its old activities, let's say. Anyone want to say
and here's the genius part.
Innocent than that?
Here's the genius part. Here's what I told my friend Tim. This is what I told him. I said, this is the kind of thing, this is the genius of the show. An 8-year-old kid is not going to understand. The 8-year-old kid is just going to think, oh, they're going to come in there and they're going to kiss. How sweet. You know? Most 8-year-olds think that adult activities is just kissing anyway.
Yeah. See, they pulled it off very well.
And by the time a kid is old enough to understand what that was really inferring, I think that they're going to be old enough to be able to, they're going to be mature enough to handle it. And that's what I think. I think that scene was handled perfectly, and it was executed brilliantly, and it was effing hilarious.
I really agree with that. And then Suki was about to walk in, and she was all, she knew what was going on, too. So.
Well, I mean, if you consider the fact that they said when Yue turned 16, she was a marrying age. So they're trying to say that Sokka and Suki being older are, well, adults almost.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
They're old enough to get married.
This is something that I've seen in fanfics a lot, and it's just the portrayal that Sokka and Suki are like this much older than the rest of them,
and
so therefore they can do everything like adults.
One of the main arguments for Katang, for the people that doubt, because I'm going to stand up for Katangers right now, then one of the main arguments is that Aang is 12 years old, but the show portrays 12-year-olds, and all the kids are much more mature. And so that's why Katang is possible, and that theory holds up with this, since, you know, Sokka and Suki look like they're about to, yeah, so, I mean... I'm actually going to probably stand up for Katang a lot in this episode.
Okay, good.
Because...
Sure, Katang doesn't need any standing up.
Ha! We got you.
I do that all the time. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, so that was... I think that was one of the most funny scenes of the entire show. Okay, and Zuko walks, of course.
The only thing I didn't get about it is why they were trying to hide it from Zuko.
Well, I mean, do you want that public with Aang and Katara around, I guess?
What's the problem with it? I mean, Sokka already said back in Crossroads of Destiny that he was involved with Suki.
They're trying to... I've gotten the impression for a while that Sokka's trying to shield Aang from a lot of stuff, so I don't know. I think this just goes along with shielding Aang, not really, I mean, Zuko. And, you know, I mean, do you want that? Why would you want these adult activities known to your entire group, I guess? It's a little disturbing for the other
ones.
Like the next 10 over.
If I was... I'm assuming the age proportion would be... If Sokka and Suki's 16 years old, would be probably the equivalent of about 20 years old, I'm guessing. I'm just roughly estimating if this is what they're doing.
16 years old is the equivalent of 16 years old.
No, I'm talking about maturity levels as compared to the Avatar world compared to the real world. The maturity level that the 16-year-olds are old are at, I think this is equivalent to the maturity of a lot of 20-year-olds.
Okay, that's a completely separate podcast. I can go on to a little bit of a rant on that.
Well, I was just going to make a quick point that, you know...
Yeah, I think...
But I think everyone can figure it out, so yeah.
Yeah, so... It's like they're not exactly at the right age yet, I guess. But not at the accepted age. Maybe. So yeah, Zuko walks in, hilarity ensues, and then we go from this hilarious scene to pretty much awesome in that they have the flashback.
Little baby Sokka.
Yeah, more importantly, little Katara.
Those look just like the ice climbers from Brawl.
Yeah, I know, I like
it. We definitely need more Brawl on this podcast.
There's a whole podcast on Brawl with me and Martin. We're going back and forth on it. Yeah. Someone recall what happened there in this flashback.
Well, my first thing is okay, little baby Sokka, and you're thinking, And I thought the Fire Nation armor could not get any more ridiculous. And then we see these Southern Raiders and their these little helmets. And I was cracking up. I'm sorry.
You'll see that they come and that they...
Lizards are sex
toys. Yeah, okay, I remember what happened in this flashback now. They see... They come, and Sokka sees that they go away, and that's it. And it's like, I didn't know that mom died. Well, okay, well, now we'll get to that later. Okay, so there you go. We'll expand on the flashbacks in the second and third one. Zuko realizes, based on the description of the ships that from Sokka, that it was the Southern Raiders who attacked the South Pole. The next morning, Zuko's waiting outside Katara's tomb, so they know it kills her mother and really help her. And Katara, Sokka and Zuko have a discussion what Katara wants to do. I have to rant a little bit on the chatting here.
Is it your turn to take a field trip with Zuko?
Yeah, I know. It's your turn. Yeah.
And then his reaction to her saying yes, I thought was actually rather nice, because he says yes, actually, and then he's like, oh, I was just joking. You know,
yeah.
I thought that was a great reaction from Aang. Just nice and subtle.
Still, notice no awkwardness. They kissed a couple seconds ago. No, days. It's but notice, they, guys. It's still days, but
it feels like months to us.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit awkward, I guess. Oh my! Whoa, I just got that. Okay.
Question: are we going to talk about the things that came up in the 317 preview?
No.
Okay, so we're not going to talk about any of that at all.
Not yet.
I'll probably mention it. But yeah, Aang and Katara were a little bit awkward in this episode, I thought. I was actually mad that Aang didn't get mad for, like, them hugging. I wanted him to go up and, like, slap Zuko. That would have been really fun.
But, see, that's being immature, and the whole point of this episode was to show how mature Aang is.
You know, I just want to see him slap Zuko. I don't care.
No, I think it's just you want to slap Zuko, Dylan. I think that's what it is.
Zuko's already had too much brain.
It's so true. Okay.
I mean, he already got pawned like twice in the episode. He fell twice.
Oh, what? You know what?
And then he got word pwned by Katara, and I don't think we need to put him through much more.
Aang allows Katara and Zuko to take Appa to go on their mission. Aang. He is the correct decision here. Katara wouldn't let it go, if so.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Okay, so then they start their ninja mission. And we start the choppy direction here, I think. Not choppy. You know, I know, choppy is a bad word. It's really fast pace. Really, really fast pace. And I think it continues the trend of the rest of the end of season 3. It's not something I'm fond of. I like the just slower transitions, the slower pace. But, you know, it's too much. I don't know. I think so. This episode was a lot to soak in at once.
I was waiting for Zuko to say, believe it! It is this outfit.
Okay. So Katara and Zuko head to a Fire Navy communication tower to find where the Southern Raiders located. They learned that they're Whale Tail Islands. Good job, they brought back Whale Tail Islands. So it wasn't just completely unnecessary.
It was that. What about the location of that on the map? When they showed. When they showed that in Lake Laogai, that island was on the other side of the Fire Nation. Is Appa really
right
flying
next to
this
Kyoshi
fast?
Island, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the map in too much detail.
Is Appa really flying this fast? Because they're on the opposite side of the Fire Nation capital right now. And Whale Tail Island is all the way over by, like someone said, just said Kyoshi Island.
Right.
You know, let's move on. Okay. So.
Why are we moving on? I think that's a good point to discuss about continuity.
We need to analyze the map. I don't know.
Flying for a long time because Katara had bags under her eyes the next time we speak.
Well, yeah, I guess, sometimes we underestimate how fast Appa can go, I think.
But then
he also only has two people on. We gotta remember.
Well, what about Zuko's comment in 313? Oh, I thought this thing would be faster.
Seen hours and hours and hours of Zuko and Katara sitting on Appa and not talking to each other, because you know that's what they did.
Yeah, but I'm saying if it took them a whole season to get up to the North Pole, Is it really going to take them overnight to get all the way?
It's unrealistic. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, just don't shove me off like that.
I really think this is overanalyzed in this case. We have more to worry about than that, but... Yeah, I'm an over. I want to overanalyze. I'm kidding. What's up?
I was just making a simple point, and I didn't appreciate you shoving me off like that.
Katara talks to Zuko about the last time she saw her mother. Okay, this was the little Katara goes, talks to mom, there's the guy there, and I forgot. And he's, oh yeah, okay.
And then she runs and gets Sakota, and then they get there too late.
No, that's the third, I think. Yeah, not much happened in the second part.
No, she says that they get there too late, he was already gone, and then she was already gone, but they didn't show anything, because they showed her running to get Hakoda.
Yeah. Okay, that's very silly. Yeah, not much to talk about for that one.
I love the fact that they named her Kaya, because that was the original name that Katara...
Oh, did they say that in this one?
Hakoda called her Kaya. Yeah,
I'm glad to say I'm Kaya. Okay. First of all, I heard that, and I expected it because there was this fanfic we reviewed with like the fifth podcast, The Legend Confused. They called this right on, Katara 119, because Katara in the pilot episode was named Kaya, so they made that name of Katara's mother. Thought that was amazing. That was one of my favorite parts of the episode when. We saw Hakoda shouting at him. Thank you for following me up, guys. Okay, now. Katara and Zuko attack and storm a Southern Raider ship where Katara throws everyone overboard apart of him. They head towards the helm where they find the leader of the Southern Raiders. Again, rushed, but whatever. Katara bloodbends him and realizes that he's not... Okay, first...
I think it's time to suck it up and admit it, Dylan.
What am I admitting?
That screenshot was her bloodbending.
I know it was her bloodbending. I was just saying the opposite in that one. I hate the fact that she's bloodbending here. It's really...
Why? It goes right along with her character for this episode.
Just save it. Well, first, somebody could... this isn't her.
Exactly. That's what Aang said. This is Jet. He called her Jet, basically. And this is something that Jet would do. I think this fits her character, not the character Katara as we know her, this revenge state Katara. That's the point of this episode, is
revenge
that her character.
State Katara. I don't think revenge state Katara should exist. I don't like any of this.
Well, it does.
My Katara fanboy senses say no, no, no.
Well,
not what I want to see here.
Well, it doesn't. That's the point of the episode. It's supposed to strike a bad chord with you with her.
I don't care about proving the Mary
Sue. That's the purpose of the episode, is what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the fact that it struck a bad chord with you. If that struck a bad chord with you, then that's exactly what the episode was supposed to do.
You see, the only problem I have here is that this is the guitar I know. Where is it coming back?
At the end of the episode.
That wasn't her. That doesn't make up for it. It's the fact that, I mean, now we have this going into the finale, that she's like this, and she has this, she's capable of this, and...
You know, maybe that's what allows Aang to get the Avatar State back, is the fact that
God, don't even get into Avatar State.
Okay.
They're not going to bring it up in the finale.
How do you know?
Let's just wait. I'm... fairly positive that they'll barely talk about it. But, Katara, yeah, so the fact that she bloodbended again after she swore she'd never do that again, right? In 308, I think.
No, yeah,
she didn't.
She just, like, cried.
She did something like that. Yeah, she cried.
She at the very least, she regretted doing it.
Okay, and she wastes it, and she doesn't even know if it's the right person. It doesn't seem like something she would do to me. I don't know.
I mean, the whole point of it, again, is saying the fact that she's got demons, too. I mean, the whole point of this season is showing how anyone can be good and anyone can be bad. And so, if Katara is the exception...
We've already seen how she can be bad, though. I mean, this season is so much on Katara. We've seen, 308, and then we got 301, and then blah, blah, blah. It's been like they saw the Mary Sue thread on TV.com and they're trying to prove it wrong. That's just what it seems to me. I don't know. Yeah, this is a mute point here.
I have to say, though, one of the things I did like, though, was Zuko's reaction to her bloodbending.
Yeah.
But they didn't expand on it. I mean, I like that he was like, whoa, but...
But again, yeah. Part of that, I think, is because of the fact that the second half of this episode was rushed.
Yes. Yeah, they could have done a lot more with that scene. They could have been like, where did you learn that from?
And that's, again, a point I'm going to agree with you, Dylan. That's one of the things, that's one of the effects that this is going to have, that we're cramming this all in.
Yeah, it's just too much. It still is.
Yeah,
a good episode.
Just going back to that.
Realizes he's not the one who killed her mother. The leader tells him they must look for... I forgot how to pronounce it.
Yanra,
who retired from the Southern Raiders 4 years ago. At a house in the Fire Nation village. I like how they set this up.
Yeah.
See, this is what we need to see more of. They had a good setup to what was going to happen. If we did that with every scene, we'd have a lot more success.
I think M. Night's going to have a lot of fun with this scene.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. If he can spend...
Because it almost had a really creepy feel to it.
Yeah.
It almost had that Signs feel to it.
Almost makes you wonder if Mike and Brian, because they knew they were doing the M. Night movie when they were working on this.
No, I don't
think they would have done... I don't know about that. I mean, I'm not rejecting the possibility, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, so at a house in the Fire Nation village, Rania is at his garden when his mother tells him to go and get food for the market. They have the setup for this character who's going to be important. So
I love that. I love her.
We go through it with him. This is the type of thing we need with every scene.
That
While
was
he's
some...
there, Rania feels like he's being followed.
As he's
going home, it starts to storm. Rania knows someone is following him, and fire blasts it rush behind him. He sees no one on sword, trips over where I stop. That's very detailed then, and is stopped by Zuko. The whole following thing, everything just sets up.
Great. Oh, I just wanted to make a point really fast on, I love the voice acting of his mother.
His mother reminds me of the mom from Throw Mama from the Train.
Yes, 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 I love
that
movie.
Even when he says, kill my mom, he's like saying,
yeah,
please.
That was really evil.
Yeah, I was like, are we really talking fair trade here?
That came off as just evil to me. Yeah, Rania, Yanra confronts, Katara confronts him and asks if he remembers who she is. The first does remember, then realize who Katara is. Flashback number 3. And,
are we gonna just extend this talk on the flashbacks a little bit more now? Because I just want to make an overall statement about them. I didn't like these flashbacks as much as, this is one of the points that I'm not, we'll get into this obviously at the end when we talk about series classic or no, but I didn't think that these flashbacks held my interest as well as the ones from the storm. I like the storm flashbacks better, because the storm flashbacks meant more for me. I mean, this is neat how they showed it from 3 different points of view, but I thought it got really repetitive, and after the first time we saw a flashback, we knew what had happened anyway. The only purpose of the third flashback was just to add that last negative information that was the reason that she died.
Well, last note of information, that's huge. I mean, maybe this is just more because, I mean, this is my favorite part of the storyline, Katara's part, I mean, the Water Tribe part, but these flashbacks, these were my favorite part of the episode. Maybe, yes, my favorite part of the end of season 3 so far. Maybe even some of the best of season 3. Yeah. I mean,
I was expecting, especially with Elizabeth having written this episode, for those flashbacks to be a lot more powerful. And then something else.
I was expecting the episode to rock me more emotionally than it did.
Well, powerful. I mean, I was practically shouting when they said Hakoda said Kaya in the second flashback, and then the third one when she started speaking. I mean, and Kaya voiced by Greta Leslie. I think she did a pretty good job on it. It's just, I think it's as emotional as you want it to be, because I found the third flashback amazing, and the fact that she sacrificed herself to save Katara at the end. That's just put such a good cap on this whole storyline, the whole second part of that thing.
I just thought it could have been done better. I'm
using
the storm flashbacks
I don't
as
think
a.
You can compare them. I think this.
I think you can. Why can't you compare them? They're the same.
Well, okay, you can compare them. I don't think they should be compared. How about that?
I still don't understand why we can't compare something that happened at the beginning of the season, I mean at the beginning of the series, to have something that's happened at the end of the season. I mean, series. I mean,
the main point of the storm was to give us the flashbacks so we could see Aang and Zuko's past. But this was mainly about Katara's getting revenge.
Yeah, not this was. Yeah. This is more. I think these were more. You know, actually, I don't know.
I'll be honest. The flashbacks almost had that plot device feel to them for me.
Oh yeah, but they were a plot device. I think it was a very good plot device. I liked them a lot. I don't know. It's actually no, I do know. I mean, they struck me as very powerful because they answered some of the toughest questions. Well, who was Katara and Sokka's mom? Who killed her? What's her name?
And
how did she die? Why did she die? It answered all these things that wouldn't even, I don't know, I guess it depends which part of the storyline you care more about, but this is one of the main things that I've loved about it.
Yeah, well, and I want to make a comment on, is it alright to just kind of change the subject a little bit? I'm talking about Yanra now. Well, it's still related to the flashbacks, I think. When my friend Lauren, she was worried about the episode because when she saw the picture of Yanra in that preview, she was like, oh man, I hope that isn't the guy that killed her mom because that doesn't look like, I don't really like that. I figured he'd be brawny. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess it might have been better if he was kind of big and brawny. But then I thought about it after I watched when I was watching the episode, I was like, maybe this kind of rat feel, like this old kind of nasty guy that would kind of do something like this, you know, makes you think of the serial killer that lives down the street or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, this kind of nasty guy. I thought that was a good approach to it, but I think they could have exaggerated this nasty, you know, rat-like, you know, slimy guy a little bit more. I mean, they kind of got it good, but I think they could have done a lot more with it. And again, it's the cramming in at the end part too, that's part of it, I have to admit.
Well, actually, I think this wasn't crammed at all. I think they did a very good job of establishing him as a human being.
I agree, yeah.
I think that was the main part of it. He has a mother, he was going to go do a good thing for his mother.
He has a garden.
Yeah, he has a garden, he has a life. He's not just this, Fire Nation's just not this thing that's there.
Yeah, they show that he still has the reflexes of a soldier. You know, he could tell that someone was following him and he blasted a tree. So we got a real, I think they did a really good job making him human.
But I'm not talking about human or not. I'm talking about his personality and the way, maybe even the way he looked.
Well, he doesn't even need to be that much of a, but I mean, he can.
Like, I was just kind of expecting, when I realized that they were going to go this direction with it, I was hoping he'd be more of a real slime ball. You know what I'm, you kind of know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. I mean, okay. I just think, I'm going the opposite. I actually like that he's not a slime ball because the fact that she ends up not killing him, that makes it all the more powerful to me. Like, she realized that this is a normal guy.
Okay, I see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was what really struck me about it.
Okay.
And, I mean, we saw that with his comment about his mother, like, take her, that he was not a good guy, but he was a guy. And I don't know. Yeah.
I guess. I guess. And here, take my mom. Yeah, that's a fair trade.
Well, yeah. Okay. So
we're like doing him a favor. Really.
Yeah.
So yeah, Katara tells Rania that she's less waterbender, not her mother. She stops the rain around them, forms a giant water dome. She tends to turn into a bunch of ice daggers, makes them fly towards Rania. Cowers in fear, but Katara stops them before they strike him. That was done pretty well, I guess.
I do. I like that part. Because I was
just the timing of the rain, when the rain started, I mean, I thought that was a great use of rain. Because before, when we saw rain in the series, it was in the fortune teller, and it was a plot device. Here, it was a mood device. And I think that's a much better use of rain.
And all this, I've been seeing all this talk online since, like, the first day of taking lives, and how that could be so powerful in Avatar, and now we start to get to see it. And it's going to be...
And I think that's going to make Ozai's death or Azula's death, if they happen, all that more powerful now.
If they happen, yeah. We've been seeing this. I saw it all throughout the fandom. Now it's here. Now it's going to be probably one of the main things within the last couple episodes.
And that's something we brought up in our trailer discussion about how killing people, you know, it hasn't really been explored. I mean, the idea of death has been explored with Yue and Zhao and Jet, but the idea of killing has not been brought to the forefront yet. And I think, I guess, you know what? I think I kind of take what I said back, because we are realizing, I'm kind of realizing now, Yanra isn't the slime ball. Ozai is the real slime ball. That's the one that needs to be put down.
Well, yeah, we'll see about that. I don't even want to
discuss
that now.
And I actually,
this just relates back to me, a fanfic by Andredirk. I don't even remember what it's called, but they were like, Katara was dying and they were trying to rescue her from the spirit world as she was dying. And they had brought up a question, was like, a time when Katara has taken a life. And you know, and it's just related right back to me. And you know, she remains that she hasn't, or supposedly hasn't, throughout the series.
Yeah,
so she stays innocent for now.
But yeah, I'm going to have to reverse my opinion about what I said earlier about him being a slime ball, because now I think about the whole episode in general. I mean, we'll talk about it at the end more when Zuko says, what are you going to do when you face my dad? And I think that actually, I do like that now, that, you know, we're seeing, okay, this guy doesn't need to die. This guy isn't the enemy. Even though he did a really horrible thing and he's not a good guy, he's not the real enemy. This is the real enemy. How are we going to deal with this problem?
So I take what I said back. Even the real enemy.
I take what I said back. I now like it.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah. So this, we'll get to this at the end. Let's keep going. Katara tells Rania there's nothing inside him, and that as much as she hates him, she can't kill him. We pretty much went over this. I don't know. I didn't really like the nothing inside him part, but it was a good excuse for Katara not to kill him. So I don't know.
Yeah. She was just looking for anything, because she knew that she had all the reason to do whatever, but that kind of showed...
I disagree. I don't think she had any reason to.
Really?
I don't... Well, okay. Let's not get into a discussion of my...
Well, no. I mean, in her mind, in this state that she's in with revenge... Obviously, she thinks she has reason to do it.
Yeah, in her mind, okay.
In her mind, so, yes. So yeah, this so, is her trying
that's
to.
That's a better question.
This is her trying to get out of that mindset, and she's still struggling to get back to this state. And she's still struggling. So at the end of the episode, she says that she still can't forgive him. This is her struggling with this, I think, and I like that. Yeah. There's nothing inside you, so I'm not gonna kill you.
Yeah.
It's like okay. That's an excuse. That's just her excuse for being a good human. That's her excuse for being a good human.
Yeah.
It's almost like her trying to project her feelings onto him, saying that if I do this, maybe I'll be the same kind of person, that I'll be nothing, basically. That I'll be an empty shell.
Okay. Now we find Katara waiting. Were they on Ember Island now? Can anyone confirm that?
That was Zuko's manor, based on the pictures that we've seen from Ember Island. The beach where he went to his house. That looked like it.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't even notice that. It's even more convenient. Now we find Katara waiting on Ember Island as the rest of the gang arrives on Appa. Aang tells Katara... God, I didn't like the scene. How proud he is that she forgave Ranjo, but Katara says that she couldn't kill him. She can't forgive him. Jin looks at Zuko and tells him she can't forgive him, and they blah blah blah. Zuko tells Aang that he was right, that violence wasn't the answer in this case. Okay, stop there. I don't know. I think Katara like showed Aang off at this scene. It's almost like Brian wrote this scene. It's what I'm trying to say. Because I'm blaming everything on Brian. It's really. There's no catting. I don't get it. They're about to like fall in love at the end of this episode.
Well, do you want to hold this off until tomorrow, Dylan?
No, because this relates to this. I'm going to complain about it tomorrow and again Saturday after the most epic thing we've ever seen. But yeah, it's... Maybe it's just my obsession with this romance in it, but can't they at least give little hints of it? Why is there nothing? Why can't I have anything to grasp on?
Well, see, I'm so tempted to bring up the 317 preview. I mean, you know why.
No, keep saying, hold off on this. I'm talking
about specifically. I know, I'm just saying, you do know why they're doing it. You do know the direction they're going to take it.
I know why Katara's doing that. I don't know why Aang's not doing anything.
Oh, I see.
It's like, Aang, hug her or something. Come on. Please.
Aang is like Hamlet. He thinks everything through way too much.
No, I don't think he is thinking anything through. I mean, they still... And, okay, we're at 316. No reaction to the kiss. Let's keep it like... this is my countdown. 317, will we get a reaction to the kiss? We'll get some reaction, but will it be to the kiss? And that's what we
have. Well, it's going to be to a kiss, I think.
Shh, spoilers. Okay, so...
Spoilers? Everyone's seen the trailer. We've talked about it before, Dylan.
I do agree. The Aang is coming off, like Sokka says, that, hey, you're really wise. And Aang is coming off more as, like, I don't know, Avatar Roku or something in this particular episode. That he's
that's almost a good thing, actually, because we actually kind of see the maturity thing, you know, that Jake theory on the Avatar stage.
Right, that he's become more mature than almost anyone else, and it seems like Katara's almost resenting that in this episode, that he's being mature, he's being wise, he's giving her advice, and she's seeing it more as he's trying to be holier than thou. And
I hope not. And let's just say, I hope not.
That's what it's coming across.
I don't think that may be overanalyzing. But...
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Whatever. It's...
Yeah. Well, this kid, he destroyed the, like, okay, we're after 321, he's destroyed the Fire Lord. If he doesn't have the wisdom that the other Avatars had, he's not ready to take over as leading Avatar. He needs that, so.
Yeah, like the wisdom is important. Then again, it can't counteract the other aspects of him. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Because, like, in this, it just showed the wisdom. There's no, I didn't see any fun-loving Aang here. And this,
well, it's coming down to it.
What's in Aang? What's going through Aang's mind right now? He's not worrying about the comet or the Fire Lord Day. Yet,
well,
next episode.
I think we have seen a reaction from he's not making a move on Katara yet, but we are seeing a reaction to Aang to all this Zutara that's happening. Not Zutara, but he.
No, I disagree. I think that's not even going through his head. But
well,
like,
I mean.
You see, I mean, if you're Aang, I love to put myself in Aang's shoes, like...
Maybe not,
He's not worrying about whether he has to kill the Fire Lord or not yet. He's not worrying about when they're going to the final battle, because that comes as a surprise, as we know. But what does he have to worry about? His firebending teacher is on training. And his waterbending teacher, they're on a mission. He doesn't have any training to do. Katara would be going through my head if I were him.
Well, yeah, no, I'm saying that's what's going through his head, but, I mean, I don't know, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
Like, I mean, he's just comes off as, oh, well, here's my teacher. There's no romantic aspect side to this, I guess.
I think he looks upset. He looks upset a lot.
He wasn't upset, he smiled. He was smiling there, I remember that specifically.
Well, if he's not upset now, he's upset next episode.
No, I don't think he's even upset. We'll get into it. Oh my gosh, okay.
Well, I think part of this is that he wanted Katara to have the emotional growth. And so by forgiving Zuko, she had at least a little bit of growth. And so maybe that's why he was smiling, saying, hey, maybe, you know.
It's like, oh, daughter. That's what it seemed like.
Stuck in wisdom mode.
Good job, daughter. You've come so much. It's just pissed me off. They're not handling Cat Angle. Look forward to the rant next podcast, guys.
That's why I want to be here. I want to be here for that, because.
And Josh will not. I want to see how long I can go without Josh like getting mad and arguing with me on it.
Well, I'll let you.
Pretty fun.
5 seconds.
I won't try to argue with you because I want to try to understand. I want to try to understand where you're coming from.
You guys will see where I'm coming from. I'm going to be validated, don't worry. So Zuko.
Pick up an odds table for this one.
Make some squares there. I'm going to delay the reps. Zuko.
I do want to hear your thoughts on it, though. I'm anxious
Zuko
to hear your
asks
thoughts on
Aang
it.
What he's going to do when he faces his father. Let's go into this a little bit now.
Like
such
I said,
a poignant line.
There hasn't been. Can anyone correct me? I don't think there's been any episodes where there's been a real stinger line on the end. I mean,
I guess 218,
I take that back. 218, there was the part with Azula raising up her head and saying, we are the Earth King's humble servants.
There's that.
There is that stinger.
202, when it's like, that's what I compared this
but,
one to.
Oh, really? Are you, really? I don't think that's that big of a deal.
Oh, well,
In retrospect, the whole spectrum of things, Omashu, them finding out that Omashu was taken by the Fire Nation, that's not that big of a deal, I don't think.
At the time, that was huge.
At the time, maybe. But...
this is just some of the dilemma Aang has worked out in his head.
Overall, I think this has been the biggest stinger, and most, I think Alicia used the word poignant, you know, this is big, this shot me right in the face when I heard it. Well, and I was like, oh my gosh, this episode can't be over. And then it was.
Yeah. See, if I wasn't spoiled by the fact that this issue would come up, I would have been hugely surprised because everyone's always
assumed. Well, I knew it was going to come up. I didn't know it was going to come up right there, though.
Everyone always assumed that. So this is like, whoa, wait, he may not? It brings up this whole thing here.
Yeah. Well, and I knew, obviously, everyone's been spoiled now about how that's going to happen, or that how that issue's going to come up. But I didn't expect, after everything that happened in this episode, you know, I didn't expect it to relate back. I wasn't expecting the relationship between what Katara was going through and the decision Aang is going to have to make. I wasn't expecting that. That's what threw me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can tell Zuko is thinking about it, though, and he's, like, waiting for the right time to bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zuko's smarter than we think.
He's smarter than he doesn't do himself any good.
Okay, let's get into some of the quotes and then we'll end this. I'm about to celebrate becoming an only child, Azula. Not my favorite line.
I love that line.
That whole scene. It was like
showing her crazy coming off.
Yeah, she's crazy. Why? But she's no reason to be crazy right now.
She just lost her two best friends.
Like I said, especially if you watch Boiling Rock when they rebroadcast it directly before this, the transition was really nice. It was just the timing between the first half of the episode and the second half of the episode.
And realize Azula didn't necessarily win. She wasn't necessarily beaten, but she didn't really beat Zuko. Back at Boiling Rock. And so she's looking forward to this, and obviously with the loss of her two best friends, she's trying way too hard. And I want to bring this, I brought this up, I think, before we were in the pre-podcast talk about the animation. The animation, this is one of the things I've really been happy about the entire series. They've developed the animation as the series went on. It wasn't a humdrum, boring cartoon where everyone wears the same clothes every day. I mean, they wear the same clothes every day, but their hair grows. Their hair changes. Their clothes do change periodically, and this thing with Azula and her hair. I think the hair, her two bangs in the front were really long and waving around everywhere. I think that not only was a good development of her animation, but it emphasized this journey that she's going to go. I still am not too fond on this road that Azula's taking of going crazy, and I've talked about that before. If this is how they're going to deal with Azula, I think they're doing it perfectly.
Your whole point on the animation, I'm still nostalgic of the days when it was simpler. The animation seemed weird to me in this. Maybe it was good, but it was just weird, I guess.
I thought the animation was spot on this episode. Bending with the rain.
I didn't get a chance to catch who did it. Does anyone know who did this animation?
Oh, no. I don't know who did it. But,
JM or Moy, I think. Yeah, those are two. But yeah, we gotta get the point. I don't know, we'll see. So Zuko, she's not gonna make it, of course she will. Yeah, saw that one coming from a mile away.
Zuko can do anything.
Well, the interesting thing about that is Zuko, as far as like Dante's performance of that, it almost sounded like general concern.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Yeah.
It's just he's so awed that finally his sister's gonna do something that will get herself killed. Instead of saving herself.
It's more of an interest with a weird thing.
And I love the irony that Zuko gets caught by Appa, and he's with all these people that are on his side, and Azula's still falling. I think that's a great irony, and it could also, you know, if we're really overanalyzing it, we're really stretching it could be a symbol.
It
could be a symbol for how she, character throughout the rest of the series. She's alone, she's out on an island, and she has to rely on herself. and eventually she's not going to be able to rely on herself anymore. Excuse me, I'm not done talking.
So overanalyzing. Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying.
Phil, I loved how she used her hairpin to catch the
maybe it's already over an hour. It's okay. I forget. Aang trying to be all silk there. And Katara, don't worry about my strength. I have plenty in the protocol when I can. Nice line there.
Don't forget, Aang, can I borrow Momo for a week?
I didn't understand that.
Just because
Appa. Sokka was being sarcastic. That's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was Sokka's classic sarcasm.
Okay, that was, I don't know, I didn't think that came up too well. I didn't understand it first time. Okay, yeah, that's all the quotes. Let's get into grading it. Okay, my impression of this episode, it's good. It was obviously rushed. It had enough amazing parts for me to put it in my top, maybe 15, maybe. I need to see what happens when I watch it again to see if it's a series classic or not, but better than I expected. Writing by Elizabeth Vulchaz, amazing. I'd give it an A. Direction by, it's Joaquin?
Yeah,
okay, then I'll B. I'll give direction to Chop. They rushed it. Overall plotline C, of course, because I'm still mad at the fact that they did the whole eclipse thing and they ruined the rest of season 3. And
well, that's not this episode's plot.
Yeah, it affected it. Like we said, it made everything have to rush.
That's yeah, but you can't grade point. This episode's plot for considering this.
Hey, this isn't this plot. This is just for fact. But yeah. So
grade this plot separately. What is your grade for this plot, the episode plot, as a stand?
The overall episode, out of 10 with the scale of 5 being average, I give a 8.99, and my scale of 7 average, I'll give a 9.2, which I guess. Let's go down the list. Let's go 5 average out of 10. Maybe grade Ben.
One thing I wanted to say first, though, is I'm tired of Azula acting like Iron Man. That's why she does.
I like it.
I like it, but it's just so
okay.
It is really corny, but I like it.
So, the episode 5 average, I'll give it an 8.5. I liked it, but I don't know. Something
about it, yeah. Good job.
I agree, 8.5, and my reasoning, I am just a sucker for just cool things happening in a fight scene, like the, like Aang closing the armor over that room.
Yeah, that's kind of
awesome.
He did that
and
through Air Temple when Sparky was attacking?
Yeah, I know. That would have been, maybe they installed it after.
Yeah, I love that combat scene. I loved how they portrayed the, where Yan Ra as a human being, and yeah, did not like how they rushed it. So yeah, 8.5.
Okay.
One other thing. They said that this is like one of the more sad and intense episodes of the series ever. I disagree. I mean,
I do too.
I didn't feel it. So
I know. I thought it was very emotional. I don't know if sad came out on top for me, but I did think it was emotional.
It is emotional.
I didn't get that as much.
I didn't feel it.
I think one of the more emotional ones was maybe like the desert or something.
Or
obviously the classic Tales of Ba Sing Se. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, 2:15 with Iroh. I think Iroh's story is still sadder.
Emotional. That's more of like sad. I think they described it wrong when they said crying and stuff like that. This is.
Yeah.
It's a different type. It's more of a. Wow, I guess for me.
Yeah, just the intensity that I got from Aang when he was going into the Avatar state in the desert.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It didn't come across, so yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sam?
I give it an 8.5. I love the writing, and I love Katara getting angry for some reason. I have no idea why. But angry Katara, I just love it. And the Katara friendship, I love that.
Okay. Michelle?
I'd give it an 8.75.
Okay.
Uh-oh,
Josh.
Oh, man, I'm struggling with this. Because I've seen it twice, and I don't know. As far as I'm not sure if I can give it a grade yet. I don't think it's quite at the level that I liked 314. I don't think I like it quite as well.
That's interesting. I definitely like it more than
314. And I mean it's obviously no 206 or it's no 120 or no 113. But
I don't know if that's obvious yet. I think we have to watch it some more.
Maybe. But I mean overall as far as my do you want as far as execution or do you whether I liked it or not? Because there's a difference between best and favorite. So I just want to clear that up.
I just want a grade for it.
A grade? So I'm assuming that means best. Well, as far as execution goes, I'm going to say, with Great Divide being 5, I'm going to say 8.7.
8.7, okay.
As far as execution goes, I'm still struggling with how I feel personally about the episode.
Yeah, I think we'll all figure that out eventually. We watched it a couple more times. Elisa?
Well, I mean, like what I said earlier, if it had been split into two episodes, I probably would have liked them a lot better. But it was still, I thought it was enjoyable to watch. There were some things, again, like the shutter doors was cool. But then that got me thinking, why didn't they do that back in... And then the other thing that kind of got me that I thought as far as production goes is when they did the flashbacks. I mean, even if the flashbacks were cool and all, there didn't seem to be the tinting, the color tint that we usually got on the flashbacks. And I think that was just something that, as far as, like, that's, production goes, that they could have done.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Okay.
But, I mean, as far as, like, the writing goes... The dialogue, I thought, in this episode was really good. I mean, Sokka was on point for Sokka, and the lines that Zuko delivered were really powerful, I think, definitely, especially, like, right at the end there. That was some poignant writing and some definite lines, and there wasn't, like, a whole lot of fluff lines, I don't think. So, yeah. I mean, I do think it was a pretty good episode, and I at least enjoyed watching it. But maybe in hindsight, I might not like it as much as I did right now.
Okay. So great.
I'm going to say probably about like a 7.5.
7.5?
Yep.
Okay. So about average, we had Elisa with the lowest, me with the highest. So average probably is around 8.6 on this. I think that's the highest.
As long as we're concerned about the shutters, you know.
Are we actually concerned about the shutters?
Well, but... They weren't at the temple very long in 312, so maybe they just didn't know about it.
Yeah, they could have figured it out.
I have to point out...
They could have installed them. Toph could have, like...
I can't go this podcast without pointing it out. The awesome Toph moment of 316 would be the rock armor she gave Appa as they were flying out of the cave.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
that was hardcore.
And then Toph, of course, disappeared while they
were...
But everyone else disappeared, too.
Yeah, is...
Well, she punched Zuko.
When? I don't even remember.
Well, I think about it like this.
Saying, gee, thanks, Zuko, and Aang elbows him, and Toph just slugs him in the shoulder.
I think about it like...
There's a sign of affection.
Yeah.
This is probably ridiculously obvious, but I assign each of these four days to a character. 312 would be Toph, 313 would be Aang, 314, 315 would be Sokka, then this one's obviously Katara, and it's really cheesy.
Whoever goes with Zuko on a thing.
Yeah, and I would have to say that...
On the field trip.
And I'm glad that they included Toph in 312, because she wasn't going to get anything else for the rest of the three, for three whole episodes.
It's going to be very interesting to see what they do with Toph in the finale. I don't think they're going to kill her anymore. I thought that for a while, but not anymore.
Kill her?
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
You have to listen to the earlier podcast. We had some good discussions.
I listened to some earlier podcasts.
I don't think so anymore, but okay. I think they gotta kill someone, but they're not gonna kill anyone, because if you're not...
I listened to more earlier podcasts than I should have.
The earlier podcasts were amazing. Okay, so that's enough for today.
I think
tomorrow
so.
Night,
it's too long.
Tomorrow, if you listen to this, like, 8 a.m. Thursday, that's when we got... Friday, it's when we got out. I'll have it up around noon Saturday, so listen to it, then you can watch the finale. Good job. Okay. That's all. Podcasting time with Fang.net's right now. Co-hosts have been Ben, Jeff, Sam, Michelle,
better than waffled flame.
Waffle and Flame. Dash and Elisa, Tech Director AJ Kevin, Music Remix is Beverly Tripp. I edit Tom Thanks on by Jake. Let's end on a unison.
Zutara.
No chance in the world. I don't know, this episode is a tough one, man. But...
Ninjas.
Ninjas, yeah, that's a good one. That's a unison ninjas. And no Dumbledore, please. What?
Yes.
One, two, three, ninjas.
Ninjas! Ninjas.